Okay. Anyhow, I think this is going to be kind of exciting tonight, going back, doing a little bit of a recap of what Pastor Emmanuel taught on last week concerning, as I've written down here, the key topics tonight is going to be in a condensed version. It's concerning the creation of the universe and the earth, and the creation of mankind and the garden, and also the fall of mankind and its consequences. And then, of course, from there, next week, Pastor Allen is going to go into some other stuff concerning the last part, the fall of mankind. He's going to follow up on that, and then I'm going to come in and do another teaching the next week after that concerning probably salvation. Well, we'll see where we go with all that. So, first of all, the first opening statement here. First of all, I've been in Genesis 1 to chapter 1 to 3 for the last 10 years. Not just that, but for the last 10 years, God brought me back into the garden quite a few years ago. And Genesis never meant nothing to me at all. It never meant nothing at all to me until God began to open it up to me. So, anyhow, like I wrote here first opening statement is if you don't understand the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, you will misunderstand as well as misinterpret the rest of the Bible, especially the New Testament, because the first three chapters are foundational, as in laying the groundwork or the infrastructure for the rest of the Bible. Okay? And there's quite a few pages in here, but I'm leaving a lot of things out. I took things out today and I added some things. But anyhow, second opening statement is that there's a specific reason why God decided to introduce himself to mankind in his word as the creator, which is the word. Elohim. Elohim. Which reveals God as the mighty or strong one, as often highlights God as the creator. As the creator. And not as Yahweh or Jehovah, the eternal, self-sufficient, and existing one. Now that word right there, Yahweh or Jehovah, is even stronger than Elohim. It's stronger. But God chose on purpose to use the word in this concerning the beginning of Genesis. He chose the word Elohim. And there's a reason for that. Okay? And like I wrote here at the bottom here, everything that God does or says has a reason, has a purpose behind all of it. Like everything God does and everything God says, there's a purpose behind it. Okay, so we're going to start here. Number one is the creation of the universe and the earth. And I'm going to follow the same pattern as I did 2 weeks ago. Just do a bit of a breakdown. I can do a whole lot more breakdown, but this is, you know, this is a condensed version. So we start in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, the Amplified, of course. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, and brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay? So we got some key words in here. And what I'm going to do is, I didn't put the dictionary in this, because the dictionary would add about 10 pages to the study. But if anybody's interested in having the exhaustive dictionary to all of some of these key words I've got in there, feel free to ask me after or next week. I will print them out for you. Not a problem. But make sure you use it though. Okay? I will gladly do that for you. So the first key word in all of this is found the word beginning. Very, very important that we understand why that word beginning is in there. I'll touch on that a little bit in a couple minutes. Then we've got the word create in verse 1 also. We got the word beginning, and then we got the word create in verse 1. Verse 2, we have the Spirit of God. I just did a teaching in Omimi about that. And I said the very same Spirit that we read about in Genesis 1 is the same Spirit that dwells inside of us today. It's the same Spirit. Same Spirit that dwells within us. The Creator of the universe dwells within us. And the reason why he's not allowed to be what he is said to be is through, because we teach this here, is through because the unbelief, the wrong believing, in the ignorance that is found in our soul. That's the only thing that stops him from working. So if we can work at getting rid of the ignorance, the wrong believing, in the unbelief, we're going to start seeing the Holy Spirit doing what he is sent to do. And one of the things he's sent to do is to create. And I'm not about creating new planets. Because that word create is found in the new creation account in the New Testament. Okay? And I don't have time to get into that tonight. And then the last word here, key word, verse 3 is the word said. Said. God said. How many times I wrote it here? Verses 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, 26, 29. God said. How God created? God said first. He created them. Okay? He created what he said. He performed what he said. He formed what he said. Before God created, he would speak it. He would speak it. Okay? Proverbs 3:19 is another key verse concerning the creation account. Verse 19. The Lord, by skillful and godly wisdom, has founded the earth. By understanding, he has established the heavens or the universe. Key word, founded. God founded. God's a founder. Okay, he's the founder of the earth. Another key word is established. I'm a little ahead of myself here. It's the word established. I got Strong's numbers beside that. And I just want to put in a little plug in for our sister Letitia. She blessed me tonight by saying she went out and bought a Vines dictionary and a concordance. And I gave her a big hug. I shouldn't have to give her a hug just because of that, but I give you a hug once in a while, right now? I'm more huggy now, more, eh? This year, last year? I'm getting better, right?
Okay.
Amen. All right. So,
nice.
So yeah, I wrote here, God is the founder of the planet Earth, as well as is the establisher of the universe. And all of this, what I'm teaching on tonight, we're going to touch on this stuff down the road, in months to come. Okay, we're going to touch on all these things. John 1, verse 1 and verse 3. In the beginning, there we got the word beginning again. Before all time was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. Verse 3. All things were made and came into existence through Him. Him who? The Word. And without Him, the Word was not even one thing was made that has come into being or into existence. So the key word in verse 1 here is the word beginning. I'm going to touch on this. The next key word in verse 3 is one of my favorite words in the whole New Testament. Is the word genomei. It's a powerful word. It's everywhere in the New Testament concerning miracles. It has the idea of something coming into existence that did not previously exist. That's why I'm saying the word creator, to understand God as a creator, is very, very imperative to understand that. Because God still wants to bring things into existence that did not previously exist. Like healing, where there's sickness. Like provision, where there's lack. Like salvation, where there's no salvation. God wants to bring those things into existence. It's part of His plan of redemption. It's part of His plan of riddance, of reversal. Okay? So, observations and comments here on what I just said, some things I just said here. There are great parallels between Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1 because of the word in the beginning. Yet, there are great differences because of these words. Genesis, we have in the beginning, God created, right? But in John, we have what? In the beginning was the Word.
Yeah.
See the difference? It doesn't say in the beginning God created. It says in the beginning was the Word. Why? There's a reason why. I'll tell you why. Because here, but in John 1:3, we have, going back to John 1:3, all things were made and came into existence through Him, who? The Word. And without Him, the Word was not even one thing made that has come into being. Which is actually found in Genesis 1:3. How? Verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Key word, said. Said what? What did God say? He spoke words. Why? Because He is the Word. He is the Word. Okay? Which is also found in one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. In the last part of Romans 4:17, I wrote the New King James here. I like the New King James in this one, this translation, better than the Amplified. The latter part of verse 17, God, who gives life to the dead and calls, meaning words, speaks those things which do not exist as though that they did exist. Hi. This is all tied in together. Right back in Genesis. Okay? Because that's exactly what God did back in Genesis. I didn't write it down here, but it's coming to my mind right now. The Bible says in Genesis there was darkness. Mm-hmm. Did God say, did He come in agreement with the darkness?
No.
No. What did He say?
Let there be.
He said, light be in the Hebrew.
Yeah.
So He called those things that be not as though they were, right?
Yeah.
Instead of coming in agreement with the darkness, He wanted to see light. So He said, light. Okay? That's part of walking by faith. Final observations and comments on the creation of the universe. All of this says much about God Himself, as in who He is, as well as what He is, regarding His capabilities. His capabilities. And remember what I said. The same Spirit, who's the performer of the Word, who's the creator of the Word, dwells within, inside each and one of us. Those who are born of Him. The Bible says that we're born of the Spirit because He dwells within us. Number two, in order to create all that God created, I remember God showed me this quite a few years ago. In order to create all that God created, He created it all out of nothing. Meaning it did not exist previously. Including all of the material and the substance that was needed to create everything that is found in the universe. So when God created the earth, among other planets out there, God actually, to put the earth together, He had to actually create out of nothing the substance and the material that is made to make up the earth. He had to. That's how powerful God is. That's what makes God, God. That's what makes Him a creator in the true sense of the word creator. Okay? And I did a little research real quick here concerning even galaxies. I'm into science. I got no time for science. I'd like to get into a little bit from a Christian perspective. But even what I found here, galaxies, all in all, the Hubble reveals an estimated 100 billion galaxies in the universe or so, but this number is likely to increase to about 200 billion as the telescope technology and space improves. And this was back in 2014. And we are in one single galaxy. And there's all these other galaxies out there. And it's our God that we serve that created these within 6 days, literal days. Okay? I'm not going to read the rest here. I just put those there for the notes for people that can read up a little bit more later on. Things that God created, a part of the universe. Number two here, we have the creation of mankind and the Garden of Eden. I threw in the Garden of Eden in there because it's very key. And we're going to touch on this in a few months down the road. Or maybe before that, we'll see. So here we have in Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28, verse 26. Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When I read the word Son now, I translate it God the Word. Because Jesus introduced Himself in His deity as God the Word in John 1:1. As God the Word. Make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all of the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. Okay? So, key words in verse 26. Number one is the word make. Make. It's synonymous with the word create. Then we've got the word mankind. Very important that mankind comes from God and not from evolution, but from man, from God. God is the one who created mankind. Whether they want to believe it or not, that's their problem. Number three, key word, image. Image. Next word is the word likeness. Like I said, I've got Strong's there's numbers. If you guys want my studies on that, I'll make you copies of it, no problem. And the last one here, key word, in verse 26, is let them have complete authority over all the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him, man, male and female. He, God, created them. Key words. Created. Used three times just in this one little verse. Three times. I wrote here, repeats himself, God repeating himself, putting much emphasis on God, the Creator. And so must we. God is my Creator. God is my Creator. He is my Creator. Another key word is the word image and likeness. God repeating himself within 27, verse 27, also 26, but 27. He mentions the word in his own image and then in the image and likeness. Twice he used the word image in the same verse. God putting much value upon his image. And so must we. Why? Because when we got born again, when we got recreated, in his image. We lost the image. We're going to get into that. We lost the image. But God got it back for us because Jesus is, in Colossians, it says that Jesus is the visible image or the visible representation of what? Of the invisible God. And we are here to represent God on this earth because of that image. But that image, which we got in our spirit, has to make its way into our soul. That's where you get into this whole teaching on mind renewal. Verse 28. And God blessed them, mankind, man, Adam and Eve, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. Amplified added that, but I believe it's accurate. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. Okay? I just want to say here, when God created Adam, in Adam, in his loins, they call it, was the whole human race. I had one of my dad's cousins, about a year before she passed away, I visited her up north. She's a French lady. And she said, I wonder if we would have done the same thing that Adam did if we'd been there. I said, we were there. I said, you were there.
Yeah.
She goes, explain that to me. I said, I will. And I told her, when God created Adam, according to the Baptists, and I believe it's accurate, the Baptists call the first Adam the federal head of the human race. I believe that's accurate. So that means he was the head of the whole human race. Yes. So out of him was going to be the whole race that's going to come through him. Yes. So it doesn't matter whether Adam or whoever else, Adam is the name given for the first man. Okay? That's why Jesus called the second Adam the last man. Okay? So Adam was the first man. But in Adam, we're all in there. We all came out of the first Adam. That's why God had to send a second Adam. Okay? And we're going to get into that later on, especially when we get into the new creation account. That's really exciting. It's really exciting. It'll set us free from a lot of things. Okay? So key words in verse 28 here is the word blessed. God blessed them. He didn't curse them. He blessed them. Reminding me of Ephesians 1:3, that God blessed us in all spiritual wisdom in Christ Jesus, right? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're blessed. God blessed man. He didn't curse them. He blessed them. He blessed us. That's a powerful word. He also, key word, be fruitful. And these, by the way, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. They're all imperatives in the Hebrew. They're commands. These were not suggestions. They were commandments. Okay? So he told them, be fruitful. And then key word, multiplied. Another key word, fill the earth. Key word, subdue it. Key word, have dominion over it. And that word dominion is the same word, I think it's going to touch on later, the word authority there. So anyhow, let's move on here to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 to 12, and then 15 to 17. Now here it might get a little bit complicated, so I'm going to try to, sometimes I got to put stuff together, and my mind works a certain way, and I know that's my mind, and you know, and I've got to think, well, okay, they don't necessarily think the way I do, so I got to lay it out in a certain way that I can explain so I can unpack it properly. So the observation here and the comment is that God formed man outside of the garden. Okay? That's what it says. Sorry, I went ahead of myself here. Genesis 2:7 is, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or the spirit of life, and man became a living being. Verse 8, then the Lord God planted a garden towards the east in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, framed, constituted, and that's what I wrote here. God formed man outside of the garden in order to put into the garden. I had never seen that before. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree, and this is in the garden, that is pleasant to the sight or to be desired, good, suitable, pleasant for food, the tree of life. So we've got every tree, meaning trees. Then we've got this other tree, singular, the tree of life, also in the center of the garden. That's important. It's in the center of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of the difference between good and evil and blessing and calamity. I don't have time to teach on that tonight. But anyhow, key words in this verse 9 here is every tree. Every tree. And I remember this is maybe 2007-8. I was spending a lot of time outside for prayer during the warmer months. And most of my time I would go to the Embassy Church on Taunton. And there's a big parking lot back there, and there's a lot of trees back there. And I'm sitting there one day, and my van was always facing towards the trees, because the sun would come up and stuff like that to keep the sun off my van, because I sat a lot in the van while I went out walking, but I go back in the van, rest, stuff like that. And then when God brought this to me about the trees, I never saw the trees like I saw them before. I was surrounded by trees. I had never seen them the way I saw them after that. And even in my backyard, we've got a park, but on the other side of the street, Arena Street, it's just trees everywhere. We got trees everywhere. Even in the back here, there's trees everywhere. God put trees everywhere. And there's a reason for that. I'm not going to get into that today. There's a reason why God put trees, and he filled the garden with trees. There's a reason for that. And ever since then, I've been really taken by trees, especially when you get into the parables of the sower and the roots, how the word has to grow roots inside of you. It's a tree, right? I tell you, right back in the garden, like I said, foundational. Genesis is foundational. Because the Bible says your faith grows like a tree. It does, in the parables. Key word, every tree, surrounded by trees. Another key word is tree of life. the tree of life. Key word also was that tree of life was at the very center of that garden. At the center. And then we have another key word is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Very interesting why God put that tree. People say God tempted Adam. He didn't tempt Adam. Because in James says God is not tempted, nor does he tempt no man. He didn't tempt him. No, he didn't tempt him. You know why he didn't tempt him? Because he warned him in advance, don't eat the tree. The devil will never warn you before he tempts you. Did you get that? The devil will never warn you. You think the devil's going to show up and say, you know what, I'm about to tempt you today. You got to be kidding. I wish he did. But he doesn't. But God never tempted man. He didn't put that tree there to tempt man. He had to put that tree there to give man a choice. Because man is a free moral agent. Okay, we're going to look at that a little bit. Okay, this is where you get into God's sovereignty. We're going to touch on that later on, another time. Okay, that's why I'm saying this is foundational. Okay, all right. Verse 10. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers or four heads. Verse 11, the first is named Pishon. It is one flowing around the whole land of Havilah, La, where there is gold. Whew, gold. I love gold. Verse 12. The gold of that land is of high quality. Bdellium, pearl also, and onyx stone are there. This is in the garden where Adam was, where Eve was, where we were, where we're supposed to be. And by the way, we're back in the garden. We're going to touch on that down the road. That's why this is foundational. Okay? So key word here. That word Eden. Very interesting word. It carries the idea of intimacy. Intimacy. Intimacy, not only between man and Adam and Eve, but between man and his creator. Intimacy. Okay? Key word, gold. Gold. I never saw the word gold in there before. One day God opened up that up to me, and God gave me a word through a brother, and he said, Pierre's like an Olympic athlete, he's going after the gold. And I said, I'm not going after the gold. You know, I'm not, but I am. Okay, I'm not going after that. I'm going after everything God has for me. But anyhow, and then God brought me back to Genesis that day, or within a week, and I saw the word gold for the first time. I said, oh my goodness, there's gold there. There's actually gold in the garden where I was at. And I'm back in the garden, okay? But also interesting here, if you go to Revelation, we won't read it, but here's the reference. Revelation 21, 18 to 21. Not only are the streets made of gold, I thought it was only the streets made of gold. It's not just the streets. All of heaven is made out of gold. My goodness. It's on there? Oh, you put it on there? Thank you. All right.
Another priceless stone, too.
What's that?
Another priceless stone, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're focusing on the gold here. Okay? Yeah. I can't touch on everything tonight. All right? But that's true. Absolutely. But gold. It says heaven is made out of gold. And the streets. Specifically gold. Yeah. Okay. Verse. So then we got the different keywords here. The other, Scott mentioned there. The stones and all that. Then we get into verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden. See? In the Garden of Eden to tend and guard and keep it. So either God created Adam first, and then he created the garden, and then he put man in the garden, or he created the garden, then he created man, and he put him into the garden for a reason. There's a reason, because in the garden is the provision, the dominion, all of that, in the garden. It's all in the garden. See? And when we lost the garden, we lost everything. Alright? So here we have, put him in the garden to tend and guard and keep it. Key words here. Took the man and put him in the garden, going back to what I said in verse 8. Key word also, to tend. And probably maybe one of the biggest key words in all this is to guard and to keep it, to protect it. Actually, in the Hebrew, it says a hedge of thorns. I call that barbed wire. Like a penitentiary? You ever seen those penitentiaries? Whew! There's like layers of, not just one wall of barbed wire, there's layers of barbed wire. Meaning if you can get through the first layer, you've got another layer to go through. And if you can make it, you won't even make it through the first one. That stuff is razor sharp, man. I'll tell you, this stuff, I don't know, man. All I know, there's layers of barbed wire now. Okay? That's the way I interpret this. God put, He wanted to put barbed wire around the garden. Why? To protect it from something, right? We're going to look into that. Okay? Observations and comments. Because of these key words, guard and keep it, this implies major warfare, which is found in chapter 3. Regarding the serpent leading to the fall of man, in other words, it was the devil's intent to get Adam out of the garden, because the garden was the place where God had given him his dominion, as well as his provision, and so much more. And so much more. There's so much in there. And because of what Adam did or did not do, God had no choice but to do what he did, which God did not want to do, but he had no choice but to do it, which is found in Genesis 3, verse 23 to 24. This is one of the saddest statements in the whole Bible. It's sad. It's sad. Verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him, Adam, forth, or Adam and Eve, man, forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Verse 24. So God drove out the man. He evicted the man. Adam got evicted. And he placed at the seat of the Garden of Eden the cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep and guard the way to the tree of life. Did you know that if God had never done that, Adam in his fallen state could have went back to the tree and eaten of the tree of life, and Adam would have not been redeemable. He would have been in his fallen state, yet eternally. He would have been eternally damned. See how foundational Genesis is?
Yeah.
Very foundational. We have to understand this. Because this brings back to what I said. We're back in the garden with the second Adam.
Yeah.
See? He got us back. See the foundation here? Are you guys getting it? You're getting this, right? But there's a garden inside of us.
Yeah.
It's our soul. The Bible talks about the sowing of the word. The parable of the sower. Okay? There's a garden. We've got the garden inside of us.
Yeah.
Okay? We've got the garden. Well, we've got to sow the word now. We got to sow the word. And what do sowing the word is a seed. And what do seeds do? They create plants and trees, right? That's what got us back into the garden, okay? All right. So, we move on here. We got to move on here. And verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden. 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and blessing and calamity, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You shall surely die. So key word here, which verse 17, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Interesting here, I wrote here, there is no time back in the garden. Time began at the fall of man. Because we are supposed to live for eternity. Okay? God never intended for us to die spiritually, nor die physically. It was never God's intent. So there was no time. There's no time in heaven, and there was no time back in the garden. Time began at the fall. That's why we've got 4,000 B.C., and from the birth of the second A.D., right, B.C. is before Christ, right? They say they don't believe in God, but they use B.C. all the time. Go figure that one out. Okay? So we've got A.D. now.
Yes.
A.D. That's a Latin word, okay? So A.D., that's since Christ, his birth, right until now. Okay, so we're roughly 6,000 years since the creation of man. Not millions of years either. Okay? So here we are. I wrote here, there was no time back in the garden before the fall, yet I do believe that even if Adam and his posterity had been on the earth for 1,000 years or more and had eventually eaten of this tree, he or we would have lost it all because of the words "in the day."
Indeed.
So that means, I believe, this is not, I'm not saying I got revelation of this, but I believe that that tree was always there of the knowledge of good and evil. And any time during that period of time in the garden, any time that anybody would have went to eat of that tree, I believe they could have maybe lost it all. Because of that word, "in that day," or whatever day that may be. You know? And go back to what Scott said, I believe, I've heard this from other people, I believe that the garden was only a certain location. It might have been really big, could have been thousands of kilometers. Okay? But I believe that God wanted eventually for the garden to spread out through the whole planet. The whole planet. That's what I believe that God intended. Multiplying, if you look at that word multiplying, increase, you know, spreading out. That's what it carries. So we believe, a lot of people believe that was God's will. Because remember, he created Adam out of the garden. So that means there's a garden and there's a border there. Right? Where the serpent was, right? So I don't know where the serpent would have end up going if the whole planet would have been the garden. I don't know. But I'm just throwing that out, you know. This is just mere opinion, okay? That's all it is. Alright? Don't go saying Pierre said that the Lord told him that. None observations and comments on all of this. Adam did end up dying physically. He did. Yet he also died spiritually immediately. Very important. He died spiritually immediately. Once he lost the image of God, which is proven in what? Genesis 5, 1 to 3. This is the book. Verse 1. This is the book, the written record, the history of the generations of the offspring of Adam. See? Adam and his offspring, we were part of it. Now we're part of another offspring of the second Adam. When God created man, he made him in his likeness. 2. He created them male and female and blessed them, named them both Adam, mankind, at the time they were created. Verse 3. This is key here. Very sad also. Very sad. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness after his image and no longer after the image of God, because Adam lost the image of God. See? And he named him Seth. Last part here for now. The fall of mankind and its consequences, I wrote here in parentheses, the loss of God's image, the loss of the dominion, the loss of the garden, the loss of the tree of life, the loss of intimacy with his creator. Wow. And everything, all of its implications. For how many years? 4,000 years. Even up to today. For those who are not born again, who are those who are not walking in their sonship. The consequences are still there. So let's look at some of the consequences, okay, of the fall. And that this is where our brother Pastor Allen is going to touch in onto this next week. So we have Genesis 6 here, verse 5, and then 11 to 13. For 5, we have the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. That is the consequences. On top of Adam falling there, that's the consequence of his offspring. Okay? Key word is wickedness of man was great. Another key word in there is every imagination, that has to do with the mind, and intention of all human thinking, there it is, the word thinking, was only evil continually. That's why once we're born again, Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, or stop being conformed in the Greek, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Verse 11. The earth was depraved and putrid. That's a good word from the Amplified. They caught the Hebrew. Putrid. That's a strong word. Something that's putrid. A decaying corpse. They say it's putrid. Okay? In God's sight. In God's sight. And the land was filled with violence, desecration, infringement, outrage, assault, and lust for power. My goodness, we're surrounded by this stuff today. Key words. Depraved and putrid. Like I said, I didn't put the Strong's numbers, but I didn't have time to, you know, to do this, but I will. So anybody who wants all the Greek and the Hebrew, I'm going to have it. The other key words is filled with violence, desecration, infringement, outrage, assault, and lust for power. Verse 12. And God looked upon the world and saw how degenerate, debased, and vicious it was, for all humanity had corrupted their way upon the earth, and this is key here, and lost their true direction. Lost their true direction. Boy, did we ever lose our direction. Boy, did we ever lose our direction. Meaning, going to hell. Now, if you don't call that losing your direction, I don't know what you call it. Okay? And it's also an eternal hell. So key words, degenerate, debased, vicious, all humanity also. Key word, corrupted their way. Key word, lost their true direction. Verse 13, God said to Noah, I intend to make an end of all flesh, for through men the land is filled with violence, and behold, I will destroy them and the land. And he had a reason to do that. Everything God does is just. Key words, through men. What kind of men? Men void of God's image. That's what happens when you've got mankind void of God's image. This is exactly what happens. Key word also, filled with violence. I don't want to get into that. There's so much stuff out there happening right now. It's incredible. Even here in Canada, the states and families, amazing what's going on. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. Part of the consequences of the fall. And you he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins. That's what happened. We became dead in our sins. Verse 2. In which at one time you walked habitually. So he's talking about now that you're born again. So he's saying the way you used to be before you got saved. You're following the course and fashion of this world. We're under the sway of the tendency of this present age. Following the prince of the power of the air. You're obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. Verse 3, among these we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, the sin nature, the death nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings, mind again. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind in their fallen state because of the fall, because of what we read back in Genesis 3. Last references, Ephesians 4, 17 to 19. So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord, as in his presence, that you must no longer live as a heathen, the Gentiles, in their perverseness, in the folly, vanity, and emptiness of their souls, and the futility of their minds. I tell you, the church is still full of this stuff. Verse 18, their moral understanding is darkened, and their reasoning is beclouded. No wonder they're making all kinds of stupid decisions. Especially leaders of governments. They are alienated, estranged, and self-banished from the life of God with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge, or the lack of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart, to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. Part of the consequences of the fall. And people have the audacity to say that there's no sin out there, there's no creator out there, there's no garden, there was no first Adam. Yeah? Well, wait till they die. They're going to have the rudest of the rudest of the rudest of a rude awakening. And it's going to be an eternal one. Observations and comments. My question years ago, as it is still a big question to this very day, was and is this. This bugged me. This almost tormented me for the longest time. Since God is all-knowing, God is omniscient. That's what it means, all-knowing, all-seeing. Why did God go ahead with this plan of creation, knowing well, beforehand or in advance, that Adam would fall, and with the fall, having all of these horrible consequences on this planet? And this is the answer. Believe it or not, God gave me the answer about 6 years ago. God had no choice, no other choice in the matter, but to go ahead with the creation of mankind, knowing well in advance the fall would take place, because if God had decided to not go ahead with this plan of creation because of knowing this, he would have taken man's freedom away, choosing for man instead of allowing man to choose for himself. Now listen to this. This is how God gave me the revelation. I was watching Sun News one day, Sun News TV. Ezra Levant, Michael Corn, they're not on TV anymore. Ezra Levant made a petition against the CRTC. The CRTC wanted to determine what we should watch and not watch on TV. They wanted to pick and choose the programs, what to air and not to air. And Ezra, he went up there and he said, you have no right to do that. We've got remote controls. We have the right to choose what we want. And he wasn't talking about pornography or anything like that. He was talking about Christian programs, stuff like that. And Ezra's a Jew. Okay? And he said, you have no right to take our freedom away. Because we have remote controls. If we don't want to watch a certain program, we can go to the other program. So give us the freedom to choose. When I heard that, the revelation came to me. That's what happened with God. If God had not created us, he would have taken our free moral agency away. Knowing well in advance what we were going to do. But still, God would have to go against his moral standards and give us a freedom to choose from right from wrong. Powerful. And it set me free. It set me free concerning God's sovereignty and man's free will. It totally set me free from all the heresies out there saying that God ordained Adam to fall. My goodness, what kind of God is that? He's a psychopath. He's a murderer. He would be, but he's not. So I hope that this blessed you. Thank you very much.
Amen.